The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
So we think of pain and suffering as being a curse. It's not, it's a blessing. Mm. We are taking our suffering for granted. Mm. God uses suffering. Jesus became that mature sacrifice, if you will, that perfect sacrifice through what he suffered. We look at suffering as being something that we rebuke the devil for. It's not. Pain is a gift. You put your hand on a hot stove, pain tells you to remove the hand. That's a gift.
Nothing is wasted with God, including our pain. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda Lane joins me.
Happy to be here. Hi,
and
Randy.
It's great to see you. Great to see you. Chad Prather's joining us again.
I know. Yeah. I'm so excited to continue the conversation. Born for Meaning is the book. Welcome, Chad.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, so, I got to say, by the way, if anybody, you guys missed the other program with Chad, go to lifetoday.org. You can see all the programs there. But we're back to talk about the book. Mm-hmm. It's a funny book about grief in some ways.
Mm-hmm. I often say it's not a book I ever thought I would be writing, a book about brokenness and grief and tragedy and trauma. And I say all of those because everybody's been through hurt. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been through something. They're carrying around some level of grief. Mm-hmm. Last year for me was a very hard one. Our dear friend Charlie Kirk, as we know, was killed. The same day, my niece passed away unexpectedly at 38. My aunt died. And then my mother passed away. Mm. So I was going through a lot of things. And then in the middle of all of it, going through a very lonely time of God isolating me and working on me personally on some past regrets and hurts. And out of that, Born for Meaning was born. And I thought, here I am. I am now 5 or 6 chapters into writing a book about pain. The emails that I've gotten from that book, there are people who have said, we can't keep a book because we keep giving them away.
Yeah.
And so I know that it was something that was supposed to happen, and it's been a blessing.
I saw a shift also, I will say, in your podcast. Anybody that knows you online, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're sitting on the truck or doing the show on your set or the radio, all the great things you've done. And then all of a sudden you're doing a prayer and a devotional.
Right.
And that, I think, is sort of the fruit of what God's done inside your life. Am I right?
Yeah, it's so funny. It's a little humbling. It's a lot humbling. People will send me messages and we say, we like this Chad Prather. Like, the last guy was a little crude, he was a little crass, he was a little, he could be offensive. And I did that on purpose because of the nature of the world in which we live. Coming out of the entertainment world, the political world, the comedy world, there's some things that if you search far enough back on the internet, you don't have to go that far back, you're like, wait a minute, is this the guy that was just on a Life Today show? Hang on a second. But the Lord did a powerful work in me and said, listen, I made a lot of investments in you as a young man. I'm ready to make some withdrawals out of you. You've messed around long enough. You've drifted long enough. The Lord gave me this platform on social media with these millions of followers tuned in, and I had no idea that he was building all of that to do this.
Yeah.
And so I was praying last year, and I felt impressed to, I would do my devotional. I'll sit in my studio, my podcast studio, and I'll do my devotions in the morning. And I felt impressed. I said, I should go live on all of my platforms and just do 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I started doing it, and people started really loving it. They were like, we don't know who this guy is. We don't know who you are, but we like this version of you. And so then there were some platforms who came to me and said, could you do that for an hour? Like, we would love to feature you if you could do it for an hour. And I said, you want me to teach the Bible for an hour, 5 days a week, early in the morning? I said, yes, I'll do it. And what that podcast, if you want to call it that, that Before the Noise show mm-hmm. turned into something. And now we have several hundred thousand people that are watching live every day. And it's an amazing blessing for me because I tell people, I say, these are my devotions. You're just sitting in with mm-hmm. me. And when I say you, I really do mean me. So,
well, you mentioned in the last show that you were a preacher. So,
I was.
You know, you can tap back into that a little bit.
I could, and I've always been a note taker, and I had some very influential men who did invest in my life. My pastor and spiritual father in Georgia, Wade Trimmer, Dudley Hall, our mutual friend, your father invested in me, and many other names that we could name, who personally invested in my life. I was very blessed. I took it for granted. I didn't realize the stature of men that I had access to. And now they're an amazing resource in what we're doing now, because I said, okay, how do I do this? So we started doing what a lot of pastors do, and I'm not anybody's pastor, but just started working expositorially through the scripture. Mm-hmm. And we started with the book of John. Everybody starts with the book of John.
It's great.
So we went verse by verse through the book of John over a period of months. And then we got into the book of Acts. We went all the way through the book of Acts. And then we went through Ephesians, and we're doing Hebrews now. I don't know. You know, Hebrews is not light reading.
No.
The book of Hebrews.
A lot of background.
Just yesterday, I did Hebrews chapter 7, talking about the order of Melchizedek. And I'm talking to 21st century people on YouTube who are going, what is this guy on? Like Melchizedek, what are we, a high priest in the order of the, you know, this king of Salem and the king of peace? And what are we talking about? Offerings of blood and sacrifice. And somehow the Lord's been gracious enough to use all of these things. And I try to put a little hint of humor on it when I can. But I don't know that everybody thinks of Melchizedek as being a funny guy.
But it makes it relatable. And so that's good. Okay, so I was reading that you said, if you've experienced loss of any kind, it takes a version of yourself that existed, and you're left to rebuild with what is left.
Right.
How did you find that to be true and rebuild that in your identity in Christ?
So we think of pain and suffering as being a curse. It's not. It's a blessing. Mm. We are taking our suffering for granted. Mm. God uses suffering. Jesus, He learned obedience and perfection. He became that mature sacrifice, if you will, that perfect sacrifice through what He suffered. We look at suffering as being something that we rebuke the devil for. It's not. Pain is a gift. You put your hand on a hot stove, pain tells you to remove the hand. That's a gift. There's certain things that are in us right now that God has no intention of taking to heaven. He's going to get rid of those things. That process of sanctification is not fun. Again, back in Hebrews, when he talks about the father disciplining his children, he says the peaceable fruit of righteousness that's yielded through that discipline. The father disciplines those he loves. That word in the Greek, gymnazo, we get gymnasium from that. And the Greeks, of course, the Olympics, these athletes, they glorified the human body. They trained naked so the coach could see and look and say, well, that's a flabby spot. We got to work on that. And so they were, you know, laid bare before the coach. Well, the Father, in the same way, is using life to chisel some things off of us. And so we're losing versions of ourselves that in many ways we're holding on to. That suffering, when we embrace it, when we understand what pain's doing in us, that it really is a gift, that God's using that to force us into situations that we would not go to voluntarily. That's why James says that count it joy when you walk into various kind of trials. Mm-hmm. It's sort of that coat of many colors of trials. God's going to put you through a little bit of everything, and it's going to come from angles you never would have suspected, but you're not going to put yourself into that. Mm-hmm. So God does it for us. Mm-hmm. Thanks, God. And so that's where we are. And through all of that, we suffer and we go through grief and we go through trauma and tragedy. And we hold on to it to the point where, and we've talked about this in a prior episode, where people are actually manufacturing victimhood and oppression and their own trials and tribulations. They're actually giving themselves spiritual hernias from carrying weights that God never intended for them to carry. Mm-hmm. And so I learned through hitting rock bottom a few times in life, stepping on enough landmines that you realize, okay, God, I'm a poor chooser. Like, I'm really not good. I love to see the end from the beginning. If you just show me, if you turn the lights on so I can see all the steps, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. But he puts about, like, you know, on your cell phone, that little light, and you said, no, I'll show you the next step. I'll show you the next step, and it's probably not going to be a perfect step, but I'm going to keep showing you the next step. And as a poor chooser, I say, okay, God, I'm going to let you make the choices for me. Mm-hmm. And that's hard because we're not good with the sovereignty of God. We don't like that. I like tangible things I can put my hands on.
Are you a little bit of a control freak? Is that?
Yeah. I'm an A-type personality.
Yeah.
You know, I like to know the end from the beginning, and something I can sink my teeth into, something I can tangibly feel. And so God really launched me in the last 2 years. He launched me into this deep, deep season of just trust me. It's not going to look like what you've known. Just trust me. And I've got some dear, dear friends and just great voices for the Lord, and they hear the Lord. They're praying for me, and they'll send me a text message. They say, something's coming. Mm-hmm. I was like, could you put some flesh on me? And they say, something's coming. Just, it's coming. Mm-hmm. And I go, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that looks like. It could be martyrdom. Who knows? We could go that route. But again, as long as God's glorified in it, that's what's satisfying me. And when I hit that moment where, as I've told you guys, the Lord kind of walked through the living room and confronted me on some things a few years ago, I said, Lord, I don't want to repeat those mistakes. I don't want to repeat that. That's the thing about suffering. He'll let you keep going through it. You know, the children of Israel, it was the unbelief that kept them out. They get to the promised land and they look across the creek and they go, yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful land. I mean, there's, God says, well, go get it. And he's like, oh, there's giants over there. And God's like, well, it's yours. Go get it. And they're like, well, it's a good land. It looks great. Milk and honey. It looks fantastic. But got to be subdued. And God said, well, you can do that. Just go get it. And they're like, ah. And God says, okay, just take another lap.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. Yeah. And that's what we're doing with our life as well.
So I want to hit a couple things because there's some really great content in Born for Meaning, which is available, by the way, wherever you get books, if you want to pick it up. But you talk about happiness and you've got, I'm not even going to attempt this one.
Yeah.
But what do you say about happiness?
The difference between happiness and joy, and we obviously, joy is a fruit of the Spirit, but we tend to pursue happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. So as I've said, happiness, if your happenings happen to happen happily, you'll be happy. And if your happenings happen to happen unhappily, you'll be unhappy.
Exactly.
And so we're unhappy. We're unhappy because if you're looking at your happenings, they're going to happen unhappily. And so we think that that is either the Lord's displeasure with us, or we've taken the wrong route, or we're pursuing the wrong path or destiny. And really, just it's easy to say, let's get our eyes off the circumstances, but the circumstances aren't great. I had someone who came to me, an internet troll, who said, so what does Jesus think about America bombing Iran? I said, well, I can tell you this. He very actively cares about the affairs of man, but ultimately the nations are under his authority, and he's controlling things, again, with his sovereignty. And people look at the headlines. They look at the chaos of our world. They see the protesters in the street. They see the confusion, this lack of a meta-narrative or a big story that's out there. And people are really lost, and they're trying to find some kind of foundational thing. That's why you see videos now of these young kids, and they're crying in their car, and they're posting it on social media. And you're like, what's wrong with these kids? Why did their parents beat them? You know, like, what's going on here? I mean, you know, I'm happy God spanked. I mean, my dad spanked me. God spanked me a few times, too. But, yeah, it's like, you know, what's going on in our world? And I look at it and I go, people have just, they're not holding on to anything of any substance. Mm-hmm. And we've not offered them anything of any substance. And so it's if you keep floating through the world, waiting on the world to happen to you, it's not going to be happy.
Yeah.
Not going to be happy. Yeah.
Or if you keep waiting even for the validation from the world.
It's never going to give it to you.
It's never going to give it. You're never going to be satisfied.
And the validation it gives you is going to be false. It's going to put a false identity on you. So one of the biggest messages that I like to put out there is we used to receive an identity from our history or our lineage or our name. Now we're out creating identities. And so not only are we losing these identities that God's trying to chisel off of us, we're trying to hold on to. I wrote another book called Am I Crazy? The answer to that is yes. And in the intro to that book, I said social media has given us two problems. People on social media think that they're experts, and they think they're famous, and they're neither,
neither one.
But yet they come from, because they've got this big platform that they didn't earn. Mm-hmm. And they want to talk like they're experts. I mean, we've been experts on every geopolitical thing that's happened in the last 10 years. We know more about it, and everybody's an expert. Next week, we'll be experts on something else. And that in and of itself is feeding into a false identity that is going to lead you to destruction. Eventually, that frustration is going to find its fruit, and that's not going to be a happy place.
So when you identified as, you know, the guy that everybody knew with the cowboy hat, you know, and the guy that had sponsors, and the guy that was writing a sitcom in Hollywood, were you happy?
I was not. I was fascinated by it. The way that you look at something shiny and you go, well, that's cool to look at. Let's turn it and look at it, the light through it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sitting there going, I'm having breakfast one morning at the Four Seasons, and I look over and there's Tom Cruise, and there's Tom Hanks, and there's John Cena, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, and I'm sitting in the middle of having this meeting with this all of these different guys, and I go, I don't want this. Like, this is not me. I don't want this world. This is not my world. And they're like, oh, you know, they're rolling out the red carpet. I said, there's something in there that's very empty, something very fruitless. They wanted me to move to California, and I was like, under no circumstances. I have not seen that pillar of fire by night. No way.
So now that you're doing devotionals and praying with people online, are you happy?
The thing that makes me happy is not the spiritual activity of it, although it is the highlight of my day to be able to do it. I enjoy doing it because the Lord speaks to me as I hope He's speaking through me. The joy that I have is the response. That's the thing. I'm seeing men. Men are sending me messages through our Before the Noise website. They're sending me emails. They come directly to me, and they're finding the Lord. They're finding their marriage. They're finding their fatherhood. They're finding forgiveness. One of the big things that we talk about in Born for Meaning is this idea of unforgiveness, and that is one of the biggest things that feeds the grief that we live in and the trauma is not letting go of that dead thing in your life. And so it's hard to let go of resentment and bitterness. And as the writer of Hebrews again says, it's that it's going to spring up and it's going to poison a lot of people. It defiles a lot of people, that root of bitterness. But getting the fruit that comes out of that and seeing something that when there was a pastoral title in front of my name or a shingle outside of an office at a church, the fruit coming out of this, us just being real about, hey, it's okay to be broken. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to be traumatized. It's not okay to keep carrying it around in victimhood and navel gazing, right? Feeling sorry for ourselves. But at the end of the day, it's okay to be real. It's okay to be broken. And God can use that. And if anyone's listening to this program and they think, oh, I'm too far gone. God, I can't come back. I've been too far gone from failure. And I've been too far gone with success. And as Rudyard Kipling says, you can take triumph and disaster and teach and treat those two imposters just the same. They really are. And I've lived out both of them. I've been broken by success. I've been broken by failure. But the Lord is gracious to keep bringing us back in spite of ourselves.
Wow. There's the meaning. That you're born for.
It is.
I love it. Oh, wow. Okay. Some of you are really relating to this right now. Obviously, Chad's book might be a great resource for you. Pick it up wherever you get books. But if you want someone to just get on the phone and talk, pray, whatever, we've got people that are standing by that would love to do that, that will graciously say, yeah, come back. Don't worry about the success that you think you have or the failure that you're feeling, as Chad talks about. Just come on back to the Father. Come on back to that meaning that you were born for. And like Chad says, it's expressing God's love to other people and reaping those spiritual rewards, laying up those treasures in heaven. So again, if you want someone to pray with you right now, please call. We have another opportunity where we are laying up treasure in heaven. It is expressing God's love in word and in deed. And this is a pretty specific deed, and there are a lot of great partners that are waiting right now over in Africa who are blessing children with free surgeries for things that radically change their lives. Take a look at this, and I want you to consider being a part of this beautiful outreach of God's love.
I had the privilege of visiting one of the hospitals of our medical mission partners in Africa. While there, I met some of their staff who were making their rounds. A meaningful time for me was being with some of the families and their children who were recovering from surgery. Each and every day, their medical staff see children who are born with serious physical conditions. Many have never been able to walk normally because of having club feet or windswept legs or bowed legs. Other conditions they see range from cleft lip, cleft palate, childhood injuries that impact bone growth, and physical appearances. If not corrected in time, these children are destined to lead a life of misery and suffering. But that's where these gifted surgeons step in a very unique way.
We are servants of the Lord. The Lord can do anything that He wants to do, without us, He can do. But He has chosen us so that we can help to do His work.
And that's why even as medical people, we really have to depend on him. We have to pray for our patients, pray for them when we are doing the operations, just because we know that we are just the hands of someone who is actually doing the work. We are just doing that smaller part. And then God does the rest.
And it's a great joy that he's going to use me as one of the tools to make his work perfect again.
It is wonderful seeing children walk and run and play with smiles and laughter in ways they never could before. Life Outreach's medical partners are restoring dignity and transforming lives of precious children through these reconstructive surgeries. I invite you to join us in supporting Life's medical missions outreach with your prayers, your love, and your financial support so that even more children can experience healing, hope, and lasting change.
Man, I love seeing that. And you know, I love the attitude of those surgeons as they say, we're God's hands. We're partnering with God because, Belinda, that's what we do. That's what God does throughout the scripture. He partners with people. And we partner together with people in the field and with the viewers to make this happen.
Yes, the surgeon even called himself a tool in God's hand. Yeah. And it's like, if we think about how you build something, it requires a lot of tools.
It does.
And so I can't be a surgeon. Mm. You wouldn't want me operating on anybody. But I can be a giver. You know, we all are different tools, and we all can ask God, how can we use our gift to give and to help in this situation?
And it's a blessing. God blesses those who cheerfully give. Mm-hmm. Proverbs says, when you're generous to the poor, you lend to God. You don't lend to God, but God is entering into a contract because he says, and I will repay you. So it's the heart of God to be generous. And that's why I think I love seeing those doctors, because I just feel God's heart. And also, it kind of goes by a little bit quickly in that piece you just saw, but when you look at those pictures, the before and then the after, I actually had to go back and look twice. I went, is that the same child? That is the difference you are making when you support this children's hospital there in Zimbabwe, in the heart of Southern Africa. So many children are impacted. Surrounding nations come there. There's a long line. That's why it's so critical that we reach that $600,000 goal and do it this week, because this is the last week you're going to hear us talking about this. I want to be able to let those doctors know, yes, our viewers came through. I want those children who are in desperate need of a surgery to know, yeah, you're in line. It's going to happen. The hospital's at capacity. We're going to expand the operating rooms. We're going to renovate the recovery areas. And we're going to do more surgeries at no cost to the families that desperately need this. And Belinda, this is just such a huge act of God's love in action. I just get excited about it, but we got to hear from people today.
We do. The opportunity is so great. I was even asking off screen, why don't I feel like I see a lot of this in children in America?
Yeah.
And it's because you said we have the ability to get those surgeries immediately.
Yeah, they don't grow into those conditions.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we have an opportunity to change a life for somebody who hasn't had the opportunity to get it done at birth.
Right, right. But again, we need you. That's why I'm asking you right now, go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. Do what God puts on your heart. And if all you think you have is a prayer, that's big. That's huge. We value your prayers. Most of all, we value the partnership because, as I said, when you are generous to the poor, you lend, you partner with God. Will you partner with us as we partner with God? I hope you will. Do it today. Do it now.
Many children in Africa are born with severe deformities or suffer life-altering injuries. Conditions like club feet, windswept legs, and untreated fractures force them to live in pain because help is out of reach. But you can offer healing today. Our mission partner in Zimbabwe runs a children's hospital, now at capacity, and in urgent need of renovation and expansion. With a $600,000 goal and only a short period of time to raise the necessary funds, your best gift today helps children receive the surgical care they need at no cost to the families. Together, we can heal precious lives and reveal the love of Jesus. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. Featuring inspiring photos from life's outreaches, this beautiful journal is a reminder that your prayers and partnership are making a global difference. With your gift of $126 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,026 to help with the expansion of operating rooms so children are no longer turned away, and request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
When you're a child born with severe disabilities in a country like Zimbabwe, and your family makes on average less than a dollar or two a day, it seems impossible for you to ever receive the help that you need. Today, through Life Outreach's Medical Missions Outreach, Hope for Children Project, we have the ability to expand the surgical center with our mission partners to increase the ability to reach these children with such severe disability at no cost to their family. With your gift, we're going to be able to expand the operating facilities, the recovery facilities, and everything that supports it. The number on your screen is a lifeline for children who are desperately waiting for corrective surgery. Please call that number or go online and make the best gift you can for our Life's Medical Missions Outreach Hope for Children Project. Thank you and God bless you for being a part of this miracle of hope.
We're wrapping up this campaign on the air, so I really want to hear from you. This is the last week you'll see it, so please, if you can do whatever you can do, be a part of this beautiful outreach. And if you can't do something today, but you're planning on being a part of this outreach, give us a call. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. I've been blessed. This has been great. Two great programs,
but I feel like I could keep asking questions. And so if I have questions, I know the audience has questions too. So if they want the book to get all of their questions answered, where can they go to get the book?
ChadPrather.com. You can find everything, even the things you're not looking for. It's over there. And to get directly to the book, you can go to BornForMeaning.com.
Excellent. I know. I'm hoping a lot of people will join with you in the morning for the prayer, the devotional that you're doing online. I think it's great that you're doing it.
I love doing it.
And I appreciate you spending time with us.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you guys spending time with us. If you missed the other program at Chad, lifetoday.org, come back. We'll see you again next time.
You'll never pray long prayers if you don't start praying short prayers.
That's it.
Jensen Franklin and the Power of Short Prayers tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.